From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
After returning Wednesday night from a NATO summit in London, President Trump sat down with the permanent representatives of the members of the UN Security Council and had lunch. There was a conversation among the members, which we share with you now.
Okay, thank you very much. Just returned from London, where we had a tremendous success with NATO. The relationship we have with other countries is very, very good. It has to be good, otherwise they wouldn't have done what they've done. As you know, NATO was suffering very badly from depletion of funds, and it was going down like a roller coaster goes down, not up, but down. And I was able to, over the last couple of years, increase their contribution, not the United States, because we were paying far more than anybody else, to put it mildly. It was really getting ridiculous, and over the last couple of years, I had them increase by $130 billion. And then over the next couple of years, and this was done largely over this last 2 days, but also set up time before that, they had to now contribute $400 billion more. So it's a total of $530 billion other countries will be putting in to NATO. And NATO now is very financially sound. It's very strong, far greater than anybody ever thought. If you look at Secretary General Stoltenberg's remarks, he was very generous in his remarks about what I've done for NATO and what our country has done, but what I've done in terms of getting other countries to put up money, because they weren't putting up money. And now they put up money at a level like has never been seen before, actually. Has actually never been seen. So I want to thank everybody that was there, and maybe especially Mr. Stoltenberg, who's really a terrific man. I think he's done a fantastic job at NATO. So the Secretary General has my great thanks. That was a tremendous success. And I have to say, you know, it wasn't reported accurately, but that's okay. But the relationship I have with other countries is really good. Now, they can't totally love me when I say, you know, you're not putting up your money, you're not putting up your fair share, you're not spending the kind of money that you're supposed to be spending, because we're giving you protection, you're getting the protection of the U.S. and the greatest military force in the world, and you're not paying, you're delinquent. So I tell some people they're delinquent. Not everybody can love that. You can't say that in two nights a manner, otherwise they're going to be just like they've been for the last 15 years and not pay, and certainly not pay up to the 2% level, which frankly isn't even that high. Frankly, 2% isn't that high. But I had a lunch yesterday that was great with, I call them the 2%ers. These are the people that were at that level. There's a total of 9 countries, and we had the lunch, and a lot of countries are close and getting closer, and some are really not close, and we may do things having to do with trade. It's not fair that they get U.S. protection and they're not putting up their money, and they're really, I call them, I use that term, delinquent. That's exactly what they are. But we had a tremendous success in London, and NATO is in very, very good shape, and the relationships with other countries are really extraordinary. Today I'm honored to host the working lunch with ambassadors representing countries on the United Nations Security Council. I want to thank our U.S. ambassador to the U.N., Kelly Craft, for joining us and doing an extraordinary job at the United Nations. Thank you very much, Kelly. You're doing fantastically well. The United States holds the rotating presidency of the U.N. Security Council for the month of December. During our lunch, I will outline America's priorities and ask our distinguished guests from other nations how we can best work together. They have a lot of great ideas. We've done this before. We've learned a lot, and it's been really quite an interesting time for me. Today, our nations face a range of shared security threats, including terrorism, drug trafficking, illegal migration, cyber attack, and the spread of nuclear, chemical, and biological weapons. And we're working very hard on those problems, especially the last three. There can be nothing more important. The Council must take action to confront these and other dangers facing the world. That also includes the behavior of the Iranian regime, which has killed hundreds and hundreds of people in a very short period of time. They're killing protesters. They turned down their internet system. People aren't hearing what's going on. I would like to see the media get involved in that and go in and see what's happening, because it's not a good situation. It's a horrible situation. It's something that that is going to be a big scandal throughout the world very soon. They're killing a lot of people, and they're arresting thousands of their own citizens in a brutal crackdown in recent weeks because they're protesting. And I think the media should get involved in that. I don't know that they will, because they have their own reasons, but the media should absolutely get involved in that. America will always stand with the Iranian people in their righteous struggle for freedom. They're not being treated properly. All of that money is being wasted on weapons and on other things, and they're not treating their people properly. And their people in all over the country, they're rioting and they're protesting and they're very unhappy. We also call on Security Council members to join the United States in our vital efforts to promote religious liberty around the globe. The world is more secure when people have the right to follow their convictions and to worship in peace. And we've been very strong on that. And getting back to Iran, I do have to say that I think the Iranian situation could be fixed very quickly and very easily. And it could become really something special, as it was at certain points of time. There are certain points of time where it was doing very well. But for quite a long time, it's been doing very poorly. But it could be fixed very quickly. But we have people that just don't want to do that. For some reason, they just don't want to do that. They don't get it. But I want to thank everybody for attending the lunch today. I think what I'm going to do is go around. These are very important people. These are people in their own countries that are at the top level and have great ideas. I learn a lot about their countries. And I'd like to just maybe, we'll start with Kelly, and she'll introduce herself and just say a couple of words, and then we'll go around the room and introduce the representatives from these very important countries. Please, Kelly.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President. And you know, it is such an honor for anyone to serve a president. But for me to serve a personal friend and this particular president is such a great thrill, so much so that I felt like today I was bringing home all my boyfriends and girlfriends to meet my family. So I was just so very excited. And he has taught me well the importance of being a business leader first when you're putting your country first. Because I think within the Security Council, to be transparent, as the president has made very clear to countries, and accountable and being efficient, and just with NATO and demanding the 2%, I think that's very important that we hold people accountable. And as a Security Council, we all have the same values, and that is uplifting people that have less than we have. And that's something that the president has taught us well in the United States. The people that elected him are those very people that didn't have a voice, and that's what we are all about in the Security Council. And I'm very proud to introduce you to perhaps the strongest council that I believe the United Nations has ever had.
That's very good. Thank you very much, Kelly. Please.
Mark?
I'm Mark Christine. I'm the ambassador of Belgium.
Good.
So it's a privilege to be here, Mr. President. Thank you very much. Thank you also to Kelly for organizing this. I think it's really good. A great moment for us. Thank you.
And I just met your representatives over the last 2 days, as you know. So it's very good. Thank you very much. Please.
Mr. President, I'm Zhang Jin, the permanent representative of China. Thank you for inviting us to the White House. We have made a tour around this a number of rooms, the green one, the red one, and also the China room.
Good.
And we are very much impressed.
That's true.
And we are very much impressed by the decorations, and do wish you and your family and all colleagues a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Thank you very much.
And we are very happy to be here, and we have listened to your remarks very carefully. Yes, indeed, the Security Council is entrusted with a huge mandate in maintaining peace and security. For that purpose, it needs our cooperation, needs our unity. And we are happy to see that Kelly Craft is leading us in December.
Yes.
And she's really doing a great job. She asked me to say so. not really. But we are very much impressed by the way she's really leading the Security Council, and indeed it's our really common responsibility to work together, to stay united, to make the United Nations strong, and to maintain world peace and promoting security and development. Thank you.
That's beautifully stated, and we're having meetings and discussions with your representatives right now, as you know. So it's going on very well. Thank you very much.
Indeed.
Appreciate it.
My name is Leon Adam, the ambassador, permanent representative of Cote d'Ivoire, Ivory Coast. We were not in the NATO meeting. We follow everything you did there, and you did well. Thank you very much. We thank you very much for welcoming us here, and thank you, Kelly, for your leadership in the Security Council. You represent the America and the President Trump in the best ways possible. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
My name is Jose Singer. I'm Ambassador, Special Envoy to the Security Council for the Dominican Republic. I thank you for this lunch. I thank Kelly for convening this. You have a great representative, Robin Burstein, in the Dominican Republic. She's a great ambassador.
Good.
And wish you Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah.
Robin's doing a very good
job. She is great.
She's fantastic.
Yes.
Thank you.
Nicolas Rivière, I'm the permanent representative of France. Thank you very much, Mr. President, for your hospitality. It's a privilege to be here. And thank you also for sharing Kelly with us. Thank you.
Yes, very nice. Thank you very much.
President, I'm Christoph Heusken, the ambassador of Germany, and I was just wondering who you meant when you spoke about NATO and the building.
That's a very interesting conversation with Angela, who's a terrific woman. She's really a terrific woman, but we did have that conversation. It's really good. Thank you very much, very much.
Thank you, and I wanted to thank also for Kelly Kraft. We work very closely together, for instance, on religious liberties, and Germany is sharing the sanctions committee on North Korea, where we believe that the UN plays a very important role to keep the sanctions in place to make the policy that you conduct on North Korea a successful one. And with regard coming back to the budget, we of course hope that you also think the UN is very important and the US also pays its dues there. Thank you.
I think the UN has tremendous potential actually as an organization, and it's doing well. Good leadership right now. Thank you very much. Please.
I'm Dian Transajani. I'm the ambassador, permanent representative of Indonesia. We're not a member of NATO, but we're working closely with you on G20. I also would like to second colleagues to have Kelly there. You have appointed Nikki Kelly from the South, and then Kelly from the South. I studied in the South in Nashville, so I'm very happy we have ambassador from the southern part of the
United States.
Thank you very much for having us here.
And say hello.
My name is Mansour Al-Atebi, ambassador of Kuwait. First, I'm really honored to be here, Mr. President. Thank you for hosting us. And we are very grateful to Kelly, our colleague. She came only 3 months ago, and she is now presiding over the council for the month of December. We wish her all the best. Our bilateral relationship between the United States and Kuwait is excellent.
Yes, it is.
And we will work also to even improve it.
Say hello.
I will.
Thank you very much.
Good afternoon, President.
How are you?
My name is Nestor Popolicio. I am the ambassador of Peru at the UN. And I would like to thank you for receiving us, for inviting us this important lunch. And I would like to say that we support fully the program presented by the Ambassador Kelly Kraft for the presidency of the United States during this month in the Security Council. It's a very good program. Thank you for your leadership.
Well, thank you very much. Great country.
I'm the permanent representative of Poland to the United Nations.
I just met with somebody you know very well,
yes.
Right?
And I'm so honored because for me it's already for the second time that I'm here in the new, in White House. Allow me, Mr. President, to say how lucky we are to have a very kind and human leadership of Kelly, the Security Council. Not only Madam President is very professional, but also she tried already in a few days to be the good spirit, so we are very enthusiastic. And for Poland, we are so privileged to work closely, of course, in NATO, not only. We share the same values, and Poland will very soon be out of the Security Council, but we always pay attention to the values, not only freedom of religious, but also how to uphold the standards of international law. So again, I am so privileged to be here.
Thank you very much. Thank you. We had a great meeting yesterday, I have to say. And he was a member of the two percenters. That means Poland. So that was very good. So we happen to have lunch also. Thank you very much.
Mr. President, I'm Vasily Nebenzia, the permanent representative of Russia in the Security Council. We will not be out of the Security Council anytime soon. Thank you for hosting us and for your fantastic hospitality. Thank you for the tour of the White House. We saw the China room, but we didn't see the Russian room. Maybe it's the one which is top secret here. And we couldn't discover it. But I thought I would be the first one to compliment and to thank you for having Kelly with us, but I was taken over by my colleagues, but we fully share, we really enjoy her company in the Security Council, and I think we can do a lot of things together there.
And you did a good job too. I've heard from a lot of people. Great job. Thank you very much. Please.
President, I'm Jerry Machila from South Africa. Very grateful for you to invite us to the White House. We're so happy about it. And thanks for giving us a friend. Kelly's a friend. And we co-led Security Council together to South Sudan, where we get together on African issues. And we followed your Africa strategy. And thank you so much for the programs we have in Africa. And next year, South Africa will be chairing the African Union. And I hope we can work together on peace and security in Africa. But thanks so much, President.
Thank you.
And thanks for sending Lana Marx to South Africa.
Yes.
She's doing a great job already. She's all over the show.
That's great.
Thanks,
President. Thank you very much.
Mr. President, hi there. I'm Karen Pierce from the United Kingdom. It's a real honor, sir, to be here and to have the tour of the White House and to have lunch with you. I hope a little matter of 1812 might now be laid to rest. This is a most wonderful building, and we are deeply honored to be here. I wanted to thank you as well, sir, for your support for the United Nations by sending us two inspiring appointments. First, Nikki, and now Kelly, as all my colleagues have said. There's a lot to do together. Another colleague mentioned DPRK, but 2020 will be the anniversary of the UN, and I know, sir, that when you came to the UN the first time, I think you said we needed a better United Nations, and I think we can support you in that, absolutely.
Good. I think so. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. I am Sven Jurgensen, Ambassador of Estonia, and it's a pleasure and privilege of being here, and thank you so much for having us here. You mentioned the lunch in London. Just driving here, I read an article in one of Estonian newspapers with a funny headline. The two percenters got a free lunch. But I think they needed the push, so thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mr. President, it is indeed a great honor for me. Rhonda King is my name. I represent the smallest country ever to be elected to the Security Council, St. Vincent and the Grenadines. And I think you are familiar with one of the islands, in the Grenadines, Canawan. You once had some business interest there. Yes. And my Prime Minister sends his greetings because I spoke with him yesterday and told him I was coming here. So he asked me to remind you of our beautiful island.
Sure.
And I would be remiss if I also didn't join Karen in complimenting you for appointing to, if you look around the table, you would see that there are only four women and only three will be sitting on the council, and we are on our way in. So it's a wonderful thing that you have appointed two very great women during your tenure. So I congratulate you on that. And I wish to also compliment Kelly, because already she has restored a sense of civility and dignity and grace to diplomacy. So I congratulate Kelly. I'm looking forward to working with her over the next 2 years. Once again, it's an honor for me.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much. Appreciate it.
President, I'm Mansour Bhatti. I am the ambassador of Tunisia. For me, it's a big honor and privilege to be here with you. Thank you for the invitation. And also, I share the views of my colleagues. You sent us a talented professional and Grace Bailey. She's doing a wonderful job. Thank you for that.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Yes, I am the last one, Dan from Vietnam.
And I have chance to see you the first time in Da Nang.
Right.
In 2017 in APEC meeting. So this is my great honor to be here today at the White House. And I hope that you will visit our region again. Because next year, Malaysia will be the heart of APEC Summit. And Vietnam, the heart of ASEAN EAS. So please come again.
Thank you very much. Thank you. And say hello, by the way. We had some great meetings in Vietnam, very successful meetings.
Thank you.
And the trade is doing very well with Vietnam. Thank you very much. So thank you all very much. Again, this last 2 days have been really amazing, the success of the days. The amount of money raised was a number that nobody could even believe. And if you add it up again, it's $530 billion. Over a very short period of time. Much of it is already coming in by other nations, some of whom are represented here today. So that was really something special, and this will be great, and we're gonna learn a lot, and we're gonna give some ideas, and we're gonna have lunch, and a lot of good things will happen. But I appreciate you all being here, and Kelly, congratulations on doing a fantastic job. Thank you all very much. Moving along well. It's moving along very well.
Will the tariffs go into effect next week, Mr. President?
Well, we'll have to see. But right now, we're moving along. We're not discussing that, but we are having very major discussions. On December 15th, something could happen, but we are not discussing that yet. We're having very good discussions with China, however.
Are you worried, sir, about the stain that impeachment might have on your legacy?
No, not at all.
Mr. President.
It's a hoax. It's a hoax. It's a big, fat hoax. Yes, go ahead.
On Iran, the Pentagon officials are saying that you're all considering possibly sending more troops to the Middle East because there's a threat.
We'll announce whatever we do, we'll announce. But certainly there might be a threat, and if there is a threat, it'll be met very strongly. But we'll be announcing whatever we may be doing, may or may not be doing.
What would you like to see the UN do in regards to Iran and the crackdown and vis-a-vis human rights?
Well, the UN's actually been involved very much with us. We're already dealing with the UN. And dealing very well with the UN. So they're very much involved with respect to Iran and other things with us. Thank you all very much. Appreciate it.
A news producer for the Russian news agency Ruptly, who was covering the NATO summit in London, was detained by police under the Terrorist Act and removed. Ruptly Video Agency's chief content officer, Ekaterina Mavrinkova, said this to RT. On Thursday.
We were, of course, very surprised when this happened. As a video agency, we were going to cover NATO's 70th anniversary summit. Our producer was accredited for the summit, which was confirmed to him via email by organizers. Having this email, he went there on Wednesday to pick up the pass, just to go inside and film, which is normal procedure for all journalists. So he showed them this acceptance email and his passport, and they told him that he had to wait in the lobby. At this point, he was approached by a plain-clothed man who presented a police warrant and requested him to wait for police questioning. And I believe we can now listen to our producer's own account of what happened.
I was approached by a number of police officers who requested my ID and asked me to explain what I was doing. I told them that I was a journalist waiting for my accreditation pass, and I identified myself by giving them my passport, press card, and the accreditation approval letter. The police then proceeded to detain me under the Terrorism Act. They searched me and my belongings.
Well, after that, he was told that his accreditation had been revoked, and then police left. Like I said, this came as a surprise to us because our producer has been covering events in the UK for roughly on many occasions, including state events and other developments. As an agency, we do extensive coverage of things happening in the UK. For example, we were the only media organization that filmed Julian Assange when he was dragged out of the Ecuadorian embassy in London last spring. As to this particular event, in accordance with NATO accreditation procedures, as they say, in exceptional circumstances, they reserve the right to revoke accreditation even if it had been confirmed. What kind of exceptional circumstances we are talking about here remains unclear to us. We filed a formal request to the organization right after the incident requesting clarification, but we haven't heard back from them yet.
Was this type of incident a one-off then at NATO events?
Well, I would say that we have never experienced anything like this with NATO as such. But 2 years ago in 2017, we were denied accreditation for a high-level security conference called STRATCOM Summit. STRATCOM is a strategic communications center of excellence. They're not part of NATO as such, but they are a NATO-accredited military organization, so they're related. And back then, organizers wrote us in an email that they were denying us accreditation because we are affiliated with RT, and they said they don't consider RT a journalist organization. So as for this week's summit near London, I know that RT reporters were working there apparently without problems, so we're waiting to see what the reason was for denying Rubley accreditation.
Some news about the president, who apparently wasn't, Venezuelan opposition figure Juan Guaido, who was seemingly appointed president of Venezuela by former U.S. National Security Advisor John Bolton, and who has yet to be recognized by authorities in Venezuela, may well be on the outs with the opposition. Press TV's Jesus Silva has more.
Venezuela's opposition leader Juan Guaido faces a round of corruption accusations from both pro- and anti-government figures that might bring about his replacement as head of the country's Congress, also known as the National Assembly. The accusations are related to the millions of dollars that the United States have donated to the Venezuelan opposition aimed at struggling against the government of ruling President Nicolas Maduro. As some say, Guaido has kept most of this money to himself and his cronies. Guaido has dismissed the accusations, claiming they are meant to obstruct his intention of being ratified as parliament speaker for one more year. Nonetheless, pro-government officials insist Guaido will be removed from his post.
He has stolen money from Venezuelans' confiscated assets abroad. He has also stolen U.S. funds. For this, he has no longer the required support to serve as opposition leader anymore.
Likewise, inside the opposition-led Congress, many propose his replacement.
Many opposition lawmakers will promote a different name to become head of the legislative because Guaido is not the right person for the job anymore.
Meanwhile, on the street, former Guaido supporters voice disappointment.
Last February, when he proclaimed himself interim president, I thought he would improve the country, but he never fulfilled his promises. I trust him no more.
Meanwhile, analysts say that Guaido's reputation is severely damaged.
The opposition is divided and Guaido is not respected as the top leader anymore. If he doesn't step down from his post, then he will be replaced soon.
Guaido's political decay comes in days when the U.S.-backed opposition faces internal conflicts.
Juan Guaido is accused of stealing funds donated by the U.S. instead of using them to struggle for Venezuela's democracy. As the scandal goes on, former collaborators have gone away. Jesus Silva, Press TV, Caracas.
That's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.